right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
About that song, he's not like the singer on it. I mean, he's like singing in it, but he's like not the lead singer, you know, because they switched back and forth between
him and Mickey,
him
right?
And Mickey Dolenz,
right?
His daughter is
hot. Well, now he'll be switching back and forth between Mickey Dolenz and
yes, Mickey Dolenz will be singing all of them now,
and
at the reunion
and a cedar box
where it's just now it will just be Mickey Dolenz and Peter Tork.
Oof. Is the other one dead too?
No, he's not dead. Nesmith.
Just on his own, Mike
Nesmith.
No,
his mom made
white
liquid
out.
Paper.
Yeah, right.
Liquid paper, and he just was like, I'm out.
I'm done.
Taking my knit cap and going home.
Right. I got no more use for this nonsense.
You know what's really sad about Davy Jones dying?
What?
We just met him.
Yeah, and he was a swell guy.
Like last spring, he's the nicest guy ever.
Well, clearly at the time, we should have told him, perhaps cut back on the fatty foods.
Whatever it was. Yeah, they're saying heart attack.
Go
right?
For an EKG.
God, I was like 66, though.
Cardiac stress test.
Well, you know, rock and roll's not an easy life, sir. Not even when you're a monkey.
Apparently. I didn't realize that as a monkey, he partied that hard. But, well, he was the sex symbol. So, you know.
Well, let's see.
He was the heartthrob, right?
That's true.
From that group.
That's true. Thank you, Maureen McCormick.
Yeah.
Where's her comment? I was scanning all day for comments from Maureen McCormick. About
she's still in mourning.
Yeah, I guess
she's still trying to get over it all.
Through
your tears.
Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right.
Episode
240.
Wow,
it's not really a milestone.
Edging ever closer to 241.
Really, every single episode at this point, I consider a milestone,
a miracle.
It's like, yes, one more we've done.
Yes,
and nothing terrible or horrendous has gone wrong.
240, which we're calling Riding the Last Train to Clarksville.
Aww.
Out of respect for the very young Davy Jones.
Last stop is heaven.
66. Well, no, it would be Clarksville, wouldn't it, sir? Is Clarksville heaven in this case?
I guess so.
I guess. Yeah. So, Davy Jones. Wow. That's pretty upsetting.
Sad.
What is not sad is that you can be part of this program.
You can.
By just giving us a call over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
Correcto. And you can leave us a voicemail. And tonight, we're actually going to play one of the many, many voicemails we received this week.
That's right.
And we're going to open segment two with that one.
Dose.
So we'll get to that later. But you can leave your question or something you'd like to hear us talk about or a conversation starter.
Right.
If you have an opinion that differs from mine or OG's, that would be fine.
Which we know some of you do.
There's often. many other ways you can reach out to us as well. You can do us on Twitter.
That's right, at BK Geek Stuff, and I'm over there at Geek Stuff OG.
Right, there's two of them there.
Right.
Our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/BK Geek Stuff.
Which I'd like to say was the first Facebook page in the world.
Oh, yeah.
To post the Indiana Jones in Blu-ray collection trailer.
That's a bold statement.
I'm saying it.
All right.
I defy anybody to say that they put it up before I did.
Okay.
I find that highly suspect.
All right.
That is a bit of news.
We'll talk about that in the news.
And so that's our Facebook.
That's right.
BK's Geek Stuff. And
YouTube, BK Geek Stuff.
Oh, speaking of which, I talked to production Tim.
Yeah, in betwixt one of his many journeys.
Yes, he's actually in Scotland.
Oh, nice.
And I talked to him and I said, yeah. And he's like, yeah, definitely. So we'll talk about that.
Excellent.
Later on. And I guess that's all we do.
Yeah, well, the forums are over there. Right?
Oh, yeah,
you can check those out and join in the conversation. There's a heated conversation going on over there right now about one of the other topics we're going to discuss during the news tonight, so we'll get to that as well.
And they're hosted by our friends over at
Toy Break,
right?
Yes, the lovely Toy Break.
Yeah.
So yeah, geek stuff. All right,
what's in the news?
Where do we start?
There are Davy so many Jones died.
Well, we did that, or we covered that in the intro.
You said where did we start?
No, where do we start?
Oh,
well. All right, well, since I brought it up, I teased it in the intro. Let's talk about comic book men.
You teased it in the intro?
Yeah, I said there was a heated discussion going on over at the message board.
Oh, is that the heated discussion?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
All of the heat is on the same side.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No one is a fan.
I don't know anyone who is a fan. And
I actually have some complimentary things to say about the show. But overall, I'm not a fan.
And go.
Complimentary things?
Yeah.
I enjoy the segments where people bring the stuff in only on a level that I'm seeing the stuff.
Right.
And I will say that unlike many other shows, I do appreciate some of the honesty when it comes to we're going to buy this for $300, but I'm telling you I'm going to sell it for $6.
Right.
That's it though.
Right.
Everything else about the show just drives me to want to punch Brian and Walt Flanagan. Yeah. That's it.
Let's be really pointed about it. Nothing about the show is real. In the in the sense that no random person is coming into the store with their stuff to get appraised. In fact, in the pilot episode,
right?
What's his name? Zolo.
Yeah,
who runs shows down in South Jersey, runs toy shows, and he's at every show that we go to.
He's their expert for something, right, isn't he?
No, he was one of the guys that just randomly brought something. I'm trying to remember what he brought in.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
He had short black hair. I can't remember what he brought in the first one, but it was and the moment he stepped on, I'm like, it's a complete crap, you know?
And no one bought, I think it was episode 2, no one is buying that Jay randomly showed up in the shop and then played with toys in the back room for 8 hours. Like, no one's buying that.
Yeah.
It was clearly done for the show, which is fine. You want to make a little funny thing.
And you know what? I think the show in its intent was correct, but this is not, as I recall, this was not the version that was discussed. They were discussing something that was more like Pawn Stars, where they brought stuff and talked about stuff, assessed it. Are they going to buy it? Are they not going to buy it? And so on and so forth. And it turned into the Kevin Smith and Friends show, where they get together and they're talking. They're showing them doing their podcast or whichever one it is. And I think that was, as I recall, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't remember that being discussed as part of it. I don't remember Kevin supposed to be on the show either. But now that seems to be a very important segment of the show. And I'm wondering what happened, who got in there and was like, well, we need to have Kevin in here. So we have to figure out how to make this work. Kevin, right. One. And two, who on earth decided what we need to do is giant fake like secondary segments that run through the episode? So we have, so the basic episode goes there'll be a few things that are brought in, talked about and assessed, but there'll be an overall storyline.
That's right.
Like, they have to get rid of stuff in the store, so they're going to go to the English Town flea market and,
Collingswood.
And they're gonna sell all their stuff, and then Kevin's going to say, you know, it's like the greatest flea market ever. Yeah, what he didn't say was that, you know, he also was more a frequenter that I've ever heard of the Route 1 flea market.
Right.
That is no longer there.
The dirt mall.
Yeah, the dirt mall. So, you know, like, there's a lot of...
And then there was the hockey episode.
Yeah, the hockey episode. Yeah, there's a lot of chicanery
right
going on, and it seems to me like they wanted to do one thing, they ended up doing another thing, and both things are not working.
Yeah, it's a mix of like three different shows, right? Which is clearly a problem. And then the other big problem is that nobody likes Brian in particular, Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan. Secondary.
Right.
I mean, people just think the two of them are complete douchebags, yeah, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, they're all the four guys that are on the show.
Ming is all right. Ming's kind of there, but he's, and the other guy doesn't say anything.
But he's just a whipping boy.
That's exactly what he is.
Is that his name? Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
I think he's Mike. I've only met him a couple of times.
He seems nice enough.
I've only met him a couple of times, but I can say that my interactions with him haven't been the greatest.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm hardly in a position to say, but, you know, I've met Brian on several occasions. I've met Walter on several occasions and so on and so forth. And I don't think they're douchebags in real life. I just think they're playing up. I just don't think this is who they are. I think this is, they've created some sort of characters for this show. And, you know, and Ming is the whipping boy, and I was really done with it after the first one, but I've still accidentally taped two more. So,
well, they're on demand on if you have Comcast on demand. Yeah. So I watched them because I wanted to. The first one, I hated it and I was aggravated by it. But I was like, let me see the second one. I watched the second one. I was like, no, there's no way this can continue. Let me watch the third one. And I think I'm finally done. Yeah. Like after the third one, I think I finally have to tap out.
There's almost a believability level to some of those shows. Like, you know, and again, this is the same thing with Pawn Stars. There isn't random people walking into the shop
right.
in Pawn Stars and they happen to be filming that day. It doesn't happen. None of that happens. It's just like Pickers, American Pickers. There is at least a plausible deniability that they pulled up to the guy's house. They may have pulled up to the guy's house, got out, had an hour conversation with producers where they signed paperwork and all this sort of thing. And then it's like, oh, here they come. Oh, look. And just happens that there's a camera guy in the guy's house when he answers the door.
Right.
And it's Mike and Frank at the door for Pickers. I get no impression whatsoever that anything going on in Comic Book Men is real. Nothing.
Yeah, I think probably they had a good idea, and I think it just died.
Well, I don't know how long. Yeah,
and I haven't read a single positive thing about it, so then, I don't know if it's going to last.
When they were talking about doing it and everything, and they had hired a girl.
Right.
And then she just disappeared from the whole plot. I mean, I don't know what happened there. I mean, I don't want to speculate about anything because I don't know.
Well, honestly, you can find her online and get her side of the story. She's talked about it. I've read it. I'm not going to speak on her behalf or quote it, but you can find her online. Yeah.
Oh, well, there it is. So I'm done with Comic Book Men. And honestly, if I'm being honest, I would much rather see
Toy Hunters come back. I agree with that.
Because I thought that was, and again, there is the air of, you know, it's not random, but it doesn't feel forced and fake. And
right.
Comic Book Men does.
All right. Let's move on.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you a choice.
Oh, good.
Avengers?
The movie?
Or Star Trek?
The movie. I'll take Trek.
Trek?
Yeah.
All right. So there are two things Trek that I want to talk about.
I'll take Trek today. Over Drek.
Oh, come on.
What? Go on.
That Avengers trailer looked awesome,
Hope
but we'll get to that.
That Hulk.
He looks fine. Oh, it's Ruffalo. We're getting ahead of ourselves. All right. There are two things related to Trek this week that I wanted to talk about.
Uh-huh.
First, it's that video of Benedict Cumberbatch beating the snot.
Just an unfortunate name.
Out of Zachary Quinto, a.k.a. Spock.
Right. And his double.
So we still don't know who he is.
Right.
Right. Benedict Cumberbatch. We still don't know the villain that he's played. Although there was a screen cap taken from an earlier shot of that video.
Right.
And it kind of looks like that black shirt that he's wearing has what looks like, you know, like if you have a shirt with a patch on it.
Yeah.
And you take the patch off, but you still have the outline of the patch. A Federation logo. And I don't know if it's like some sort of fancy, if it was dulled out or
Federation Ninja.
Yes. We don't know. There's so much speculation, but needless to say, we still don't know who the villain is. He's beating up Spock.
Well, they're filming. So,
And that's
what that means is we could actually get a trailer at some point in the near future. So that would be good.
All right. The second thing I wanted to bring up.
Well, you know, I think you're kind of blowing past it.
Okay.
You didn't mention who Cumberbatch is.
We don't know who Cumberbatch is. That's what I said.
What we do know is that he's the star of the BBC Sherlock series.
We do know that.
For the people who don't know who, who he is.
Oh, you know, yeah, we talked about him.
I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm treating it.
He plays Sherlock.
I'm treating it like there's new listeners all the time.
And we'll get to some Sherlock-related news in a little bit.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right.
Let's finish Star Trek first.
Go on.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
So, and apparently in an interview with Hero Complex,
uh-huh.
Burton felt like he wanted to chime in on Abrams' reboot. And part of his quote is this. The only thing wrong with it is that it sort of ignores our timeline, meaning next gen, right?
Right, which it doesn't.
We'll get there. I think that we added a lot to the Star Trek canon. The fans really want to see us do something for our cast because we came after the revered, beloved, iconic original series and earned our way into people's hearts. We did our own part in terms of expanding the fan base of Star Trek. We feel very good about our contribution. I don't know how the other casts feel, but I know that we're really, really proud of what we're able to accomplish. But he's just flat out wrong.
Yeah, he's just wrong.
You can't say that they've been ignored because they haven't gotten there yet.
They wouldn't. Well, that's, I don't think that's primarily the point. The point is that they were there because the beginning of, not the very beginning, but the whole where Spock comes from is their time period.
Right.
So, you know, what is he saying? That there should have been a cameo appearance or somehow the Spock part of that story should have been more fleshed out and include the, you know, crew of that Enterprise?
Right. I don't know, but there's that aspect of it, certainly, right?
Right.
So in some way, Abrams has acknowledged it, right? But the other part of it is that we know that he's essentially rewriting, in some way, the Trek timeline.
Yeah.
So who's to say that the next gen timeline
will even happen?
Right. Or if it does, it certainly isn't at a point in time where it's appropriate to address it.
Right.
So for him to flat out say it's being kind of glossed over, I think it's just it kind of sounds like a nanny, my feelings are hurt kind of statement.
I think he's just confused.
Right. I guess.
I mean, that would be my conclusion based on the information. Because it just, it doesn't make any sense that he would feel like left out, because there's nothing to be left out of. Unless the only thing he could possibly be talking about is the beginning of the Abrams movie, which would have been pointless to try to get all of them together for what would have been, what, a 10-15 minute, you know, exchange where Spock leaves anyway? That movie was excellent. It didn't need any more hats off to anybody. So,
and who knows? Maybe he'll address it at some point in the future.
And this is a good point to say, you know, when talking about rewriting the Trek universe, IDW is doing that right as we speak. They are doing classic, and we've mentioned this before, and I'm waiting for the first trade, which again wasn't solicited this month.
I don't know.
Which I was kind of upset about, but they are taking the Abrams timeline,
right?
But doing the original takes on the original episodes.
That's right.
So, you know, and that's really, really interesting stuff, and I really can't wait to read it, especially because I'm such a fan of the original.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So it is being rewritten. Whatever's going on, you know, with the new movie, we're just going to have to wait and see how it ties in with the original series, I guess.
Well, since you brought up Holmes and Cumberbatch and all of that business.
And I didn't.
Yes, you did.
You brought it up.
You brought it up. You said I was glossing over the fact that he played Sherlock Holmes.
You brought up the fact that we were talking about him at all.
Because it was part of the news.
I know.
But can we move on?
Yes, sir.
Lucy Liu is Watson.
Lucy Liu as Watson?
Yeah, in the CBS Holmes series.
Oh, really?
That's coming up. Lucy Liu has been cast
as Watson.
As the female Watson.
Who's the male Sherlock?
Johnny Lee Miller?
Yeah, Johnny Lee Miller is Sick Boy.
Is Sick Boy from Trainspotting. And he was in Hackers also and a couple of other things.
What was that other one? The one he did with Plunkett and McLean. It was him and
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, it was. It was him and another one from it was like a black powder pistols. They were like roadmen or something like that.
Oh, I do know what you're talking about.
And he was one of them. And what's his name was the other? Begbie.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. But so the big news is that
Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
Lucy Liu is hot.
Yeah. All right.
She is.
I will give you that.
Around it, Lucy Liu is a good looking woman.
I don't know how I feel. All right, well, I don't know how I feel about the series in general, right? And then the other thing is, I don't know how I feel about...
Romance?
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I don't know how I feel about reworking the dynamic between Sherlock and Watson into a male-female dynamic.
Well, it worked as a male-male dynamic on House.
Okay.
So, that's what... I mean, House is essentially Sherlock Holmes.
Right, but...
With medicine.
But hasn't it always been a male-male dynamic?
No, it has. And I agree with you. I don't see how they're going to do it either. But they're going to do it. So
right.
The shame of it is that it's going to get blasted because it's going to get compared to the British one. And it's going to get decimated because I don't see anything getting compared to that and being like, oh, yeah, that's good, too.
Speaking of the British one, I guess that lawsuit never went anywhere or it was dropped. BBC was attempting to sue CBS saying that the plot was the same and it was too close to what it was they were doing.
Well,
and then all of a sudden you didn't certainly hear
added, they've certainly added a wrinkle now, haven't they?
Yes. Well, I'm sure maybe that was part of the decision.
Unless
something's coming up
in Sherlock that we,
about Martin Freeman.
Oh my.
Right. Cause he plays Watson on the BBC version.
Oh my.
So there's that. I don't know.
That story is so decay.
Hey, oh, all right. Let's get to it. The Avengers trailer.
Okay.
I thought it looked amazing.
Okay. I thought the Hulk effects didn't look really great.
Really?
Yeah.
I still... The part where he catches Iron Man and kind of falls down, I thought it looked great.
Okay. I'm not saying it looked terrible. I'm saying it looked a lot more Hulk than Incredible Hulk. So I'm wondering if they're finished yet or they just rushed some stuff for the trailer.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? It's... No one isn't going to see the movie. That's not the issue. The issue is not, well, we're going to see it or we're not going to.
Right.
That's not the issue. The issue is it's all the little stuff in between that they're showing now. Like they gave more screen time to Mark Ruffalo in this trailer, which just makes me hate him.
Yeah, I don't like Mark Ruffalo.
Could you at least cut his hair?
Something?
Cut his hair.
Make him
like
meat?
No. Just cut his hair like Ed Norton. I mean, could you try to match him up a little? He looks like he you know what he looks like, with all due respect? He looks like a poof version of what's his name that played him in the Hulk.
Banner. You know, the problem is
looks
that
like a weak, limp wrist not wrist, whoops, milk toast version of Eric Banner's Banner.
My issue with that is that it looks like he's in some sort of solitude, right? And he's kind of living in, doesn't it look like
he's just hiding?
Like in a shack or some
shit? Yeah, he's in that. Yeah, did you see the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah. Right. But my point is, at least scruffy him up a bit. You know what I mean? Like,
he was
dirty him up a bit. Well,
maybe
or something.
Maybe that's what the angle is. Well, he hasn't been around civilization so much. So, yeah, at the end, wasn't he in like South America?
I think so.
Like, and he did that, the famous Hulk line. Oh, no, that was the Banner one. What?
I don't remember.
They
all kind of mushed together.
Whatever one it was. It was, Mark Ruffalo is a problem. Mark Ruffalo is a problem, and Hawkeye is a problem.
Oh, I thought he looked fine.
It's not a question of looks. It's he's nothing compared to the four of them. Nothing.
Well,
Scarlett Johansson, nothing compared to the four of them.
And Scarlett Johansson's clearly is nothing compared to the other four. And, you know, I think the true problem with Hawkeye is that they still aren't giving him his screen time. And I don't know if that's because he's going to be severely downplayed in the movie or they're just haven't given him his screen time in the trailer.
Listen, I'm going to do an analogy here that you can appreciate.
All right.
They are like the Professor and Marianne
of
in the original version of the Gilligan's Island theme.
Jesus.
It was like, how did it go? Gilligan, the skipper to the millionaire and his wife, a movie star, and the rest.
Right, yeah, okay.
Are here on Gilligan's Isle. And then, like, season two, they were like, the professor and Marianne. Yeah. Now, that's what they're like. They're the professor and Marianne of this movie.
I'm going to be interested to see what their actual role is once the film comes out. I think the trailer looks great. I think it's what they should have shown at the Super Bowl instead of the Super Bowl trailer.
Well, it wasn't ready.
Yeah, clearly.
And can we talk about the poster?
Yeah.
It sucks.
I don't think it's terrible. The biggest criticism I've been hearing about the poster is how the Hulk looks in the poster.
Ugh. It's how they all look. It's the scene they've shown in every trailer where they're standing in that circle.
In that circle.
Right? Except Cap has his hood off or his mask off.
Right.
You know, and Iron Man isn't Iron Man. Doesn't he have his mask
off
also?
It's like in the up position.
Yeah, in the up position. Yeah. And it looks false. It looks fake. You know what I mean?
I guess I don't know.
Something about it is really bugging me.
I did like in the trailer, the Tony Stark interaction. I thought I wasn't good for the team. I thought I was too volatile. I liked that little exchange. I thought that was nice.
Well, they were going to have to answer that.
Of course.
So,
and then of course the big talk is that last 3 seconds or second of the trailer. What was that thing? And the big talk, speculation, rumor, conversation piece is that it's Fin Fang Foom. So my issue with that is, really? Fin Fang Foom? And then the follow-up is,
probably.
Okay, so if it is Fin Fang Foom, why is it Michael Bay has now designed Fin Fang Foom as opposed to...
It's Fin Fang Foom.
Whatever it is. It's Fing. It's not Finn.
I think it's Fing.
No, I think it's Finn. I think it's Fin Fang Foom.
I think you should look that up. But I'll address your Michael Bay thing. Because in order for something to be really humongous and awkward like that, it has to look like something Michael Bay did.
It has to be mechanical. It can't be natural looking.
It doesn't. Well,
it can't be a real looking dragon as opposed to.
No, because that would be ridiculous.
As opposed to a Decepticon.
Listen, I have two words for you. Giant octopus. Okay.
Yeah, but we're talking about what is essentially a dragon. It's not like a dragon's never been done in movies before.
I know, but
Harry Potter.
You know
Dragon
how ridiculous Fin Fang Foom looks? He looks ridiculous.
Okay, but at least if you... He does look ridiculous in the books.
So
he looks
now you're going to try to realistic that
well, at
ridiculous
least if you made
design?
Him, I think my issue is the mechanical aspect of it.
Well,
like, I just don't see why you need to make him... I don't see why you need to make him mechanical.
Because they're going to cross over the Avengers with the Transformers for the next movie.
Oh, is that what it is?
No.
Anyway.
Would you find it?
Nah, for some reason, my internet connection is crapping out on me.
Is it because you're on a PC?
No.
And a Dell, for that matter?
My internet connection is crapping out on me. Hold on one
second. I'm just saying.
I'm pretty positive. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a Dell or a PC.
What is it?
It's Fin, F-I-N, Fang, F-A-N-G, Foom, F-O-O-M.
F-I-N-E.
No, not fine. Oh, yes, fine.
Get it?
Exactly.
See what I did there?
No,
see what I did?
I'm right on board.
Gotcha.
Can we do this now?
Geek stuff.
All right, so we're changing things up a bit. We're following last week's format.
Yes, because we still have to talk about Toy Fair.
We have to wrap up Toy Fair.
Many,
many weeks later. And do that
voicemail. So, DVDs.
Sure. There's two.
Okay.
Really this week. Hugo.
What was last week? Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory was in there. the website that we use has Walking Dead 2 listed, so I don't know if that's season 2 part 1.
Probably.
Maybe, because and season 2 idiot. Part 2 just
you're,
started.
You're just an idiot if you buy a part anything.
Of course,
DVD.
Of course you are. Just wait for the series to wrap
up. Yeah, what the hell?
In a year or two, and then just buy the complete series.
That's all.
Big Bang, Fringe, I think, was last week also. There
Game
was a
of Thrones things. Was this week.
Oh, was that this week?
I believe so,
okay,
sir.
Well, that's starting up again soon, so right? That makes sense. And then this week, of course, was Hugo was the big one. And then the other big one was Justice League Doom, the latest in the DC.
I think along with Game of Thrones also was Boardwalk Empire, perhaps.
Oh, maybe. I didn't see that listed, but it could be.
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah. Huh. I want to check out Doom.
I do, too. I want to see that.
I didn't read the original story it was, quote unquote, loosely based on, which was the Tower of Babel story by Mark Waid.
Right.
I've heard that it follows it sort of, but not.
They're
to
all
the point,
sort of.
So. Yeah, exactly.
So it's not.
But look,
know, no one's upset.
I don't really think any of the DC animateds have disappointed yet.
So
to be
where
with you, so.
Where is the rumored 2-hour Dark Knight animated that follows the book? That's supposed to follow the book pretty closely.
It's apparently that's still happening. We just haven't heard any update on it. So okay. You know, it's a big year. Plenty of time left.
Okay.
Now that was DVDs.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Yeah.
Check out this week.
A handful, right?
We've picked 3.
All right. Shoot. 3.
And 2 of them are from Dynamite, which is kind of starting to make me wonder about what I'm buying. Green Hornet, issue 22. No, it's not the last one. Before
I thought
you
they were
ask.
Done. I thought it was coming. Is it 25?
Didn't 20, we? 28 was just solicited, I think. So it's still going. Still going.
So unlike the movie, there's still some life left in the comic.
They can't beat it out of the comic. You know what, though? The comic is good. I mean, it's a shame that they didn't go with this. Written by Andy Parks, friend of this show. Art by Igor Vitorino.
If you say so.
Dracula. And the art is not bad. The art is really not bad. Right. But the story's pretty good. If you've been following it, you know, there's some good stuff happening in this one. I want to give it away.
Well, I'm glad that you love it so darn much.
Also from Dynamite, and this is a book I am enjoying, it's Voltron.
Yes.
But it's the Lion Voltron, number
right.
one.
Lion Force.
It's not... it's good. It's not great. Written by Brandon Thomas and illustrated by Ariel Padilla.
Padilla with a bonus extra bonus cover by Alex Ross, right? Again?
It's Alex Ross and Sean Chen. There is no Dynamite book that comes out with one cover.
Right,
oh, some of them do. The ones
Does
that no
Green
one cares
Hornet
about.
Have two covers this week?
Green Hornet had 3 covers,
oh,
I think,
Jesus
this week.
Christ.
Phil Hester.
Stop it, Dynamite.
They will
You're
never
being silly.
They will never stop.
I mean, not talking cover silly, but
yeah.
But silly.
Valiant. We'll get to there.
Man of War.
Someday. Yeah. Exo Man of War. Ugh.
Did anybody read that book?
No,
that
I
was,
don't understand.
That was one of the ones I didn't read. I think I read Bloodshot, Magnus Robot Fighter, whatever the hell that one was. I think I read the Ninja one.
The guy in the long t-shirt with the boots.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Anyway, sorry.
There's also a second Voltron book coming out now called Voltron Year One. Which also looks really good.
Yes, I saw that, and I'm interested in that
as
well.
I'm going to check that out. And then lastly, from DC Comics, it's Batman Beyond Unlimited, number one.
Now, is this part of the New 52 universe,
there
or is this
no,
its own?
No, it's its own universe.
Okay.
There's no New 52 anything attached to this. So that's what it is.
All right.
And if you like Batman Beyond... At all, you should be supporting it because this is a really good book. I mean, the last series, you know, the one that ended at what, the second or third issue?
Yeah, before the reboot.
And for no reason, because here it is back again. It was really good stuff. I was really enjoying it. I was wondering if it was going to come back. Thank goodness it did. And
there was one book I wanted to mention this week, too. Justice League, number 6, came out this week. Now, I'm a little behind. I think I'm only on issue 3 of Justice League. And I was going to give up. I was like, not that I'm not enjoying it, but I just really didn't. But I kind of have to stick through it now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Well, Green Arrow's coming in issue 8. He's joining the team. So
is he?
Yeah, I think so.
I just saw a preview image for your previews came out this week, right, which is the big book of stuff that's coming out. And one of the images had Green Arrow with guns shooting little arrows.
Yeah, they haven't gotten to that in the Green Arrow book yet. I hope they never get to that.
That is the Green Arrow book.
Oh, are you sure it's not the... Oh, okay.
The image I saw was from the Green Arrow.
Because there's a teaser image also from that Justice League issue 8 that's been circulating around the last 2 days, too.
Oh, maybe is that it? Maybe that's it.
The interesting thing about Justice League is that in all the issue 1s of the New 52, there was this character kind of that was supposed to be in the background of all the issues and no one knew who she was. And it turns out she's Darkseid's daughter. And they're starting to work that into...
You mean Darkseid?
Darkseid's daughter.
No one calls him Darkseid.
Sorry.
Who's ever called him Darkseid?
I did. Right here, right now. And they're starting to work this angle with her role in the universe. And here's my concern. They're setting this up to be some sort of like Elseworld type of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm worried that at some point down the road, something that she did,
I don't recall.
They're going to try to write in a way to...
I don't.
Do you know what I'm getting at?
I don't recall him having a daughter. So this is a new character.
It's okay. I believe it's new.
Okay.
But somehow she is tied to all the books. And what I'm hoping is that it's not somehow some sort of reasoning behind the 52. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not some sort of reasoning behind the spin and rewrite of the universe, because that would just suck. Because that leaves them open to go back to the old universe, which is something they said they weren't going to do.
Okay, well, we know that's at least going to happen in part because one of the new 52 books, two of the new 52 books that were solicited today,
right,
was like Earth 2, Justice right. League, Earth 2 or something,
right,
and World's Finest, which is Huntress and
Power Girl,
who are from that world
right.
also.
So, I don't know. But anyway, Justice League 6 came out this week. Check it out and, give it a read.
Yeah.
And I think with that, we will take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 240, Last Train to Clarksville.
What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. And we've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course. And we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada, as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to the Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And, of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore with a comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out. We're the Masters of None.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Onabox from Twitter. I just saw a trailer yesterday. I don't know if I'm late to the game or not, but it's a movie called Iron Sky with, zombies from the moon. And it looks pretty cool in a cheesy kind of way, so I don't know if you had any way of getting more information or not. Thanks.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 240. Last Train to Clarksville.
It's riding the Last Train to Clarksville.
He's not riding anything anymore, is he?
Isn't he, though?
No.
Isn't he?
Not unless that coffin got wheels. Wow. Maybe on the gurney. I saw them pushing him out.
Too soon.
Oh, it's never too soon.
Too soon.
A minute later, it becomes okay.
Too soon.
Nah. All right, well, we had a voicemail.
Yeah, that was it. Played just a minute ago. Let's address that. First of all, what was his name?
Onabox is Onabox? His name on Twitter. I know who he is. He's a swell chap. I talked to him on the interwebs. He actually came to our live show.
Yeah.
The one we did over at the Nutley Museum.
Sweet.
But first things first.
That was 40 episodes ago.
Seems like 100 years. First things first. Zombies?
Yeah, they're not zombies, dude. That much we can give you. That much information we can give you.
I don't know quite why or where you got that from, but
right. The Germans in defeat in World War II escaped to the moon.
Right.
No, this is not. This is an actual movie that's coming out.
That's right. I'll post the link to the trailer online.
Yeah, and they escaped to the moon where they, I guess, kind of rebuild their forces and create a space fleet. And are going to invade the Earth. And
what we're concluding from the trailer is that a bad Sarah Palin lookalike is the president of the United States.
Like that movie was made during the campaign for years.
Yeah, just for like a second, you're taking it seriously, and then you figure out who she is, what she's supposed to be, and you're like, wait a minute. And then, you know, they
let's put it this way. Zeus was more believable as the president.
Yeah. What was that Fifth Element? That's Fifth Element, yeah. So it kind of takes an angle that's strange. In the sense that it's kind of, you know, that kind of makes it a little funnier. But Nazis from Space is just awesome. You have to go. You have to see it. We presume that they're attacking the Earth and there'll be some sort of defense. There was only really one person in the movie that looked familiar, and he was like the head Nazi guy.
Yeah, the problem is I looked at the IMDb page and nothing is popping out. So I couldn't tell you who it was.
He's probably been the head Nazi guy in something else.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, he's got that familiar face. I know he was a vampire in something, maybe in one of the Blade movies. I just don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
But in any case, OGO post the link to it. Yeah, it looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like a throwback to like late 50s movies, like Ed Wood movies,
right.
Nazis from Space.
Yeah,
it's kind of a throwback to that kind of thing.
SS Werewolves.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of
right, all that shit.
The Ilsa film series.
The Ilsa, woo, sexy. Anyway, it looks kind of funny. I think it's meant to be very tongue-in-cheek comedy kind of funny. And as long as you're okay with that, it'll probably do all right. I'm not going to rush out and see it in the theater.
I might.
But I'll probably check it out on DVD when it comes out.
Sure. That's what we got there.
Right. All right, let's do this now.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
All right, this is going to be like a two-part segment. Product.
Okay.
We're going to do Toy Fair.
Right.
But before we're going to do Toy Fair, we're just going to talk about an artist that we kind of know. Right, that we've met through various venues in Manhattan.
Nice,
sure. You first met him at last year's Toypocalypse, is that?
I don't remember if that's where I met him at first. No,
it was at Toy Tokyo somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that I met him, it's I saw his stuff on display at Toy Tokyo for sale. And I wrote him an email.
Okay.
And I said that I really liked his stuff. And he's like a figure customizer kind of guy.
Right.
You know, does a lot of stuff with figure, like Star Wars figures and G.I. Joes and other things. And mashes them all together. Right. It's great.
And he also does
casting.
A lot of his own stuff, right?
Yeah. But what the stuff that I saw was like Star Wars, G.I. Joe kind of mixed stuff that I thought was really cool.
Right.
And I couldn't believe how great the paint looked, because you see a lot of customs that just stink. You know what I mean? Like you see a lot of custom paint jobs that just stink. And it's like whoever it was, I don't know if it's the paint, you know, it's too shiny or it's like, it was, I don't know. I've only really liked superior customs because of that issue.
Right.
And this guy's, all of his stuff was really fantastically painted. So I wrote him because I was like, I want to know how you're doing this and what you're doing, 'cause I'm interested to know. And then, yeah, so we started corresponding and we've hung out a couple of times. Sure.
So we should say, of course, we probably should say who it is now that we've been talking about it.
I don't remember his name. No, I'm kidding.
David Healy.
Right.
HealyMade.com.
Healy Made. It's
HealyEy. Made. MADE.
MAID.
No. MADE.
MADE.
.com. Right. And so.
For all your cleaning services, it's Healy Made.
Oh, terrible.
HealyMaid.
So the last time we saw him, at least the last time I saw him, was at the
Toypocalypse
Future Retro Show.
For the Outer Space Man.
Oh
my God, was that a great show.
Yeah, we could talk a little bit about that when we get... kind of teased it last week.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, briefly, but we could talk about it a
little
bit.
That was like...
Because we talked about Flick Dude's encounter with the Suck Lord last week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But we could talk... Because we have some of the... We could talk a little bit about it more in detail tonight.
That was one of my highlights from Toy Fair, that event.
But needless to say, we saw him there again. He had some new figures he was putting in the shop over at Toy Tokyo.
Yep.
And I guess the piece he gave us this last time was 3D is the character, is the sculpt. I actually asked him on Twitter. I'm like, dude, what's its name?
Right.
This is an original piece.
Right. It's original.
And it's like this little demon dude with a pitchfork and like one arm. I think he's got one arm. Right.
Well, it's like cape. The cape.
Yeah. The cape
like
kind
cape
of
covering the other one.
It's not
one,
really
right?
one. Right. So anyway, the thing that impresses me, I mean, everything you said about his paint jobs is amazing. The thing that impresses me most about his casting, right? First of all, I like his character designs. Like,
right.
The original characters are great. But the color, and you're going to see a picture of this three-eyed demon pitchforky character right now. If you have a, you know, if you're listening on the iTunes,
iPod,
iPad,
QuickTime, iPod Touch,
Photo Gallery,
iPhone,
any of those things. The color on those, that's not paint. The color on those.
No, that's the actual.
That's part of the resin.
Right.
So the is it gradient? What's the word I'm looking for? From the clear to the purple to the
gradation.
The gradation. Is that what I'm looking for? I mean, look, I really just wanted to talk about his stuff because I really think he does a great job.
Yeah.
He does some quality work.
Yeah.
The biggest flaw that he has, his stuff isn't for sale online.
Oh, it's not for sale on his site?
It's not for sale on his site.
Oh.
I know if you go to Toy Tokyo in Manhattan,
right?
You can get them there. And I suggested a couple of places that he should look into opening an online store.
Right.
So maybe that will happen.
Maybe.
You know, he's trying to get like a retailer presence. I actually recommended Store Envy too. Because Store Envy, not that I want to really get into a whole plug session for them, but you should check out Store Envy just because they kind of are building up this like art designer kind of crowd. And a lot of people are going to them because they're completely free right now.
Oh.
Like they don't charge you anything to open the store.
Right.
I don't think they take a commission on sales.
Nice.
They're just trying to build a community right now.
Yep.
I think Benny, actually, from Tenacious Toys, I think he's either moving or moved.
Over there?
His store over there.
Wow.
And a couple other people I know have checked it out or are moving over there. So, but either way, go over to HealyMade.com.
Okay.
You can contact him. Maybe you can get a hold of his pieces that way. Again, I know Toy Tokyo in Manhattan has the pieces. But, you know, just a great artist doing some great work and... You know, just wanted to kind of give him his props.
Yeah, he's a good fella.
He is a good fella. And, you know, it turns out that he actually is originally from this area.
Oh, yeah?
And me and him kind of have a mutual friend sort of going back a little bit.
So, we do?
Yeah. Not you. Me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
One of my wife's old roommates was a friend of his.
Really?
So, yeah. So there you go.
Huh. Small world.
Anyways.
Yeah.
We can move on now.
Right.
To the rest.
And that was Toy Fair.
Of Toy Fair. So where do you want to start?
Well,
I think we should start with Mattel because it's the biggest.
I think we should.
And then filter down.
You
or you
want
to end with
I
Mattel?
Just want to start with, I just want to start with what we were just talking about, which was that wonderful reception we went to for the Outer Spacemen.
It was an amazing
by the Four Horsemen
reception.
They are great pieces. We talked about them on the show. And having the guys there, and of course, the Suck Lord made an appearance, which is always nice. And they had customs in the back. They had a whole set of original Outer Spacemen on display. They also had a bunch of the Four Horsemen, some of the older Four Horsemen stuff that we've seen over the years, but we haven't seen for quite some time, and where it is now, and how it's going to be, and how it's coming back. I can't remember the name of that series. But they're bringing that series, and they're talking about now doing it in 3 3/4.
Right, there were two series.
Two of them,
and,
yeah.
And I
can't remember either.
I'm terrible. I can't remember the name of either series.
And so you can expect that we're going to get a nasty phone message over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
From Cornboy, who's going to be like, you don't remember the name of my stuff.
Like Sigma?
I can't remember what it is. But I know, no, you're thinking of Sigma 6 from G.I. Joe?
That's no, it was, it's going to drive me
whatever
nuts.
It is, they are awesome. And we can't wait for them to come in 3 3.
As a matter of fact, one of them, they already did a piece from.
The 6-inch one.
Right.
I think we both have
years
one.
Ago, yes.
Or I have one and you don't. Or
right.
I don't know. I have to get it.
I want one. I'm working on it. Just saying.
I get it.
Anyway.
That was, you know, not to spend all night on it. They had some nice food. The people were great. They had Just a ton of great people to talk to.
Right.
A ton of stuff on display.
We saw the next run of Outer Spacemen, the next couple of figures that are coming out. And right. You'll see pictures of those,
yeah.
Including a brand new character
right.
that was not done ever before.
Yeah,
that
they have the guy who created them originally. They're, and I guess he's
on his deathbed.
Yeah, he's getting up there, but they're just like, just keep drawing.
Just keep drawing. And they took one of his sketches and they...
Yeah, and I think they're going to do they more did of
the
piece.
It's a female. Yeah. I think it's the first female in the line.
I think so.
She looks great. And in addition to that, we should say we saw the next couple of figures, like in the Gothitropolis line
right.
and in the Seventh Kingdom, I think, yep. mm-hmm. is that line. So look, Four Horsemen cranking out some great stuff.
And now we can make the easy transition into Mattel.
So lots of great Four Horsemen stuff in Mattel.
See how I worked that?
I'll
tell you what the most impressive, well, no, I don't want to lie. The most impressive Four Horsemen thing at Mattel
was
two more Metal Men. In the DC 6-inch right. line.
And there's a picture of those guys. You'll be looking at them right. now.
And so that makes, I think that's all
that's
of them
the, that's
that
the
finishes
run.
Them. Yep. Yeah,
absolutely.
So now all they got to do, you hear me, Corn Boy? All you got to do now is finish the Doom Patrol. Just finish the Doom Patrol. Was there one more guy, two more guys? Anyway, the point is that the Four Horsemen are knocking it dead at Mattel, the stuff that they're doing. The DC stuff and so on.
I wanted to say that the Dana figure from the Ghostbusters line
right.
is awesome. You know, I kind of stopped collecting.
She's not Dana.
No, she's Zool.
Right. Isn't she Zool?
Yeah. I stopped collecting some of the Ghostbusters pieces. Uh-huh. Either A, because I didn't need 75 variations on the same character. I didn't get Vigo
right.
from the second movie because... I mean, I don't,
who cared?
I'm sorry if you guys did this, horse people, but I really didn't care for the likeness on it. Now, maybe there was a likeness issue. That could be also. Maybe they couldn't get the rights to it. But the Zool Dana figure looks awesome. I can't wait for that. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was that blurry line between Mattel and DC Direct.
Which is becoming less blurry.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
DC Direct is starting to do much less, and Mattel is starting to do much more.
And if you remember, DC Direct always kind of did artist interpretation, specific storyline.
More recently,
right.
yeah.
That was kind of their right. thing, right? While Mattel was kind of putting out
characters.
Generic representation right. of characters from the universe. But now Mattel has Arkham Asylum figures, Arkham City figures. Like, and I was like, but DC... just put those out also. Like, how does that? So clearly
work?
Something is going on there. And then, of course, the other thing was the piece of plywood on Move It Men that they're calling the hoverboard from Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, that was interesting. I have to say, though, you know, and besides all the Four Horsemen stuff, which are always
sure.
just enamored of. And it's so great when you see characters get made that you desperately want to get made
sure.
like, you know, the Metal Men.
Right.
The other thing I have to say that was really impressive was the Voltron, which has now begun.
Yes.
So Voltron, it's 3¾ scale figures roughly.
Right.
And they fit inside these lions. Now, it's not like to scale
no.
by any means. No. By any stretch of the imagination.
But it's nice that they go inside.
It's nice that they go inside, and that's fine. But really, you could stand them in front of the
right.
fully formed Voltron is over 2 feet tall.
Yeah, it's ginormous.
It's huge. They're selling the lions. It's only MattyCollector.com.
That's correct.
They're selling the lions. It's not even one a month. There's like a scattered schedule. If
yeah.
you go on MattyCollector.com,
you quarter can see. Or something that is.
No, I don't know if it's one a quarter because it's like then there's two, then there's none for, and
right.
then there's one. The Red Lion already sold out.
Right.
It's the first one to go on sale.
I missed it, so
and
I'm out already.
It's already it already sold out. I did not miss it.
Excellent.
So
good for you.
I'm happy to say. They're ranging in price from like $45 or $50 up to like $65.
Right.
And it's gonna I think it goes till October.
Just for the Lion.
No, sir. It's the Lion and the Pilot.
No.
Yes, sir.
Has that changed?
Go to Matty Collector.
Okay, because do you remember when we had this conversation at Toy Fair?
Yeah.
That was
and
not the information we were provided.
By one person.
By one person. That's correct.
But apparently,
okay,
that person was an idiot.
Was misinformed,
yes,
at the time.
Because okay, it is definitely the pilot and okay, the lion. Which that would have just been death. If
I know. That's one of the reasons I right, didn't jump on board. So now I'm kind of upset.
They have like a Voltron club thing that you sign up
for.
The
subscription.
Yeah. And people who get the subscription are also getting an additional pilot figure of Sven.
Right.
Right, who was, well, I'm not going to give away who he was, yeah, if you don't know who it is, but it's an interesting choice to actually do him as a figure. I won't be getting him, at least not through traditional means, but I will be getting him.
Right.
And they, you know, and the lions, of course, form the huge, it's over 2 feet tall. The thing is like this.
It's going to be amazing.
But the best part about it is each lion also comes with a piece of the blazing sword, which looked awesome.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome. The piece overall, we talked about it during Toy Fair because that's the first time, not Toy Fair, New York Comic Con.
Right.
Which I think is the first time they put it on display.
That's correct.
And it was awesome. It is more awesome now because it's actually happening.
Right.
What stinks, I think, is that it's only Maddie Collector.
I think they might have been able to not have to do it Maddie Collector and still sell it. But I guess they want to guarantee their sales,
I guess,
and keep,
yeah,
it limited. So,
but I'm going to be very excited in October when finally put it together. Yeah. But we're not going to.
Are you going to build it as it goes along? Just like a foot and a foot?
No, I don't think
so. Are they releasing it that way? Are they doing, yeah, like a foot and an arm?
I don't know.
And then another foot and a torso?
I don't remember the exact release schedule, but yeah, it's, I think black is last.
Black is last. Well, that would make sense.
But yeah, so very excited about that. That was a really cool thing to see at Toy Fair and to see at Mattel.
All right, done with Mattel.
Yep.
Now we can do what I'm going to call the kudos for still being around companies. Mezco and NECA. Really, the only things I saw at NECA that really stood out for me was they got the Hunger Games license, which is going to be nice for them. The biggest problem that I have with NECA is that I feel that their figures are overpriced for the quality of the figure.
Yeah, they're still in, unfortunately, they're still in, well, should we say unfortunately? I don't know. For me as a collector, unfortunately, they're still in the McFarlane of the late 90s, early 2000s mode, where it's not really about articulation. It's more about you can get that one really great pose out of it,
right,
and that's about it.
And they're charging like $15 a figure.
Well, yeah, initially. But, you know, if you wait long enough,
you might get lucky and find them on clearance.
They're always on clearance at Toys R Us. I mean, they spend literally 2 weeks on the peg at the regular price,
right,
and then they're on clearance.
Well, it also depends on the license, though. Because, for example, I wanted the oh, God, what's the movie? Billy Connolly was the dad and the dude from Walking Dead is in it. The Irish movie.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is
Boondock
that
Saints.
Yeah, Boondock. I really wanted the figure Boondock Saints. They never hit Toys R Us, those figures.
Yeah, they
were only at FYE. Nope. Oh, I didn't see my Toys R Us.
I'm pretty sure they were at Toys R Us.
I saw them at FYE. They never hit clearance at FYE, but I never saw them at Toys R Us. They might have. Maybe I just missed
them. You wanted those?
I did kind of want those because I like Boondock Saints.
Right.
But now, 2 years ago, I wanted them.
Right.
Now, I don't want them.
Right.
I really like the Borderlands 2 figures because I like the design of the game. And then the continuation of the Rocky line.
Well, it's not a continuation, sir.
Oh, no, it's not a continuation.
Because
it's a new license for them, right?
Yeah, when we talked about Rocky action figures several years ago, it's because
Jack
Pacific
had
the license.
That's right.
They've now lost the license, and NECA has picked it up. And there's, what, 1, 2, 3, 4? There was 4 or 5 Rocky figures that look like.
We saw Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang, two different heads.
We saw
Apollo Creed. We saw Ivan Drago. And then there's at least 2 Rockies.
And, all right. So Clubber Lang looks awesome.
Awesome.
I may really want Clubber Lang. And then as far as Rocky figures go, I've been hesitant to get Rocky figures. I kind of feel like I want one.
Right.
But I haven't picked one. And I think I may have found the one I want.
Oh, yeah?
It's the one with, it's the Apollo or Drago just punched or Clubber. Just, someone just beat my face to a pulp. It's the one where the head is kicked back and he's got the blood spatter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like coming
out
of his
mouth.
So
this is something that NECA has perfected. I think they perfected it in the whatchacallit line.
Didn't they? They've done it in like Gears of War.
Gears of War, I think, is where they perfected
it.
You know, where it's like that whole splatter effect, but in plastic.
Right.
But it's Rocky's, like, his mouth guard.
Correct.
It's, I think it's when he's fighting Ivan Drago when he knocks the mouth guard out of his mouth and there's like that bloody spittle trail going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really cool
That's
thing.
A great figure.
That said, though, I think it's really, I think it's cool and all, but I just, and of course there's more at least three or four more Predator figures coming, right? There's big ones, yeah. There's little ones. There's
75 or 80,000 right. bobbleheads, lunch boxes.
Right. Heroclix. Is also them now. Yeah. There's a bunch of those things coming out. Yeah, I mean, there's the usual stuff, but this is kind of the new stuff that's coming out. More video game stuff right. as well. Nothing.
That Assassin's Creed thing, the big...
Oh, the glider.
Yeah, that was the glider. Cool. That was pretty cool.
But nothing really is like, you're not floored by anything. You don't walk in there and you're like, wow, that is, I can't believe that is like the, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, that looks cool. But, and at the end of the day, if this stuff actually gets made, I'm not really worried about getting it, number one, because you see it everywhere. And number two, I'm not worried about price because I know it's eventually going to be on clearance. So... I mean, it's sad. Mezco, on the other hand, still
had a couple things that I liked.
Yeah, they still are. Yeah, you have to say one thing about Mezco and Mez himself is that he has never varied from doing his interpretation of the things that he's doing. So that said, they picked up a Mars Attacks license.
Right, which looks great.
Right, and they're doing them in at least two different scales that we saw, right? 6-inch scale and a 3¾-inch scale.
And bless his little soul that he's doing traditional
Mars Attacks
designs.
Yeah.
And not that we've picked up a license and we're going to put the Mezco stylization on it.
Right. Well, you don't have to really because
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But
the best part about this, of course, is that what they showed, I think it was sort of a generic
character
Mars Attacks alien in 3¾ scale.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, I can buy 100 of them and I can have a Mars Attacks army and you can bet your ass I'm going to do that.
Right.
I'm kind of away from 6-inch a little bit.
I like the removable dome.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, that was a nice feature on those. A weird kind of quirky license, but for some reason, the character always draws me in. Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, 6-inch Earthworm Jim figure.
And I was like, I kind of want that figure.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that they had...
more giant Thundercats.
Right, Mumra and Panthro.
And Panthro.
We saw.
This is the classic Thundercats designs right. from the 80s. But, you know, we talked about they did a humongous Lion-O.
Right.
Oh, and speaking of which, remind me about Lion-O something.
Okay.
So they did a humongous Lion-O, and I think there was two different head variations. One of them might have been a San Diego exclusive right. or something. The point is that they were humongous. Apparently, it must have done really well because they're doing two more.
Great. I'll get them.
And they've maintained scale.
Yes.
Very important for the story I'm going to tell
yes.
next. What else about Mezco? Of course, the Living Dead dolls. Right.
And there was only one other thing. Living Dead dolls continuing.
Right.
Etc.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Those little animal plush. Remember like the cat that had like the bones exposed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that was part of the Living Dead series.
Or I don't know.
Whatever it was. But they have some cute things.
Yeah.
Look, kudos to Mezco. I'm glad that they have some great licenses. I'm excited about
Mezits.
Mars Attacks. Yeah,
okay. DC Mezits also continuing.
I'm excited about Mars Attacks. I'm excited about the Thundercats.
Mars Attacks is I think
that's the big one.
Big one. Yeah, I really think that's the big one.
I'll be interested to see where they're distributed.
Now, I have settled the argument.
Okay.
Bandai, which we did not get into.
Cockblock.
Due to a scheduling snafu.
Or cockblock.
They have released their second series
of
retro Thundercats figures. And as I suspected and as I speculated weeks ago, it's another Lion-O.
Right.
Right. Now, these are super articulated 6-inch scale. They're supposed to be larger than 6-inch because right. the old ones were like 8 inches.
Right.
Right. And basically what Bandai was supposed to be doing is releasing the original characters of the original designs in the same scale but fully articulated.
Correct.
And they released Lion-O
right
and Tigra.
Correct.
Right. And they were awesome and they're fully, I mean, you can do all sorts of poses and the articulation is amazing. Right. Well, now they've released series two, and guess what series two is? It's another Lion-O,
right,
like a growly face Lion-O, and Mumra. Right. But guess what? They switched scales.
Smaller scale?
Smaller. So, I wasn't sure until I found a Tigra in the store.
Right.
Right? And I put him next to the newly released Mumra. And he's almost a head taller than Mumra.
Which
so is just bad.
Right. It's way
bad,
off.
Bad, bad. Yeah. So, since we didn't get into Bandai, I have written Bandai to find out what the fuck.
Right.
Because this is something that everybody was really excited about, really, really excited about last year. The new cartoon, fantastic. But everyone's really excited about the classic stuff because this is the articulation we needed in 1986.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is what we needed.
Right.
And we're getting it. But now all of a sudden they've switched gears. And they also don't look like the first two looked like the sculpts from the 80s. Which had been recut for articulation. These are now new sculpts. The Mumra and the second Lionel are now new sculpts on top of that.
So let me speculate on what I think it might have been. Although I don't understand it.
They shit the bed. That's what.
I think that maybe production costs on those first two were bigger than they expected. And so they had to figure out a way to continue the line and reduce their production costs.
Should not have promised us.
Right. Absolutely not. Not to mention that I cannot imagine how the first two were not successful enough to knock at that line. They're gone. You can't get them.
I found a Tiger in the store. I almost fainted. Yeah, and there were like five of them.
You should have bought them all and put them on eBay.
Why? Are they really expensive on
eBay? I think they sell okay. No, definitely more than retail.
We could go get them right now because I know where they're at.
But, yeah, look, Bandai shit the bed. I mean, it's a shame.
Well, I'm going to wait for a response from Bandai, and then I will report directly to you, dear listener, about what the heck is going on with Thundercats Classic.
All right.
Did they finally put out a complete box set for Thundercats on DVD?
Yes.
Did they?
They did, but was it from limited? What I understand, it wasn't, what's it called? It wasn't Shout Factory that did it.
Oh.
It was somebody else. And my understanding is, now I haven't seen it actually,
right.
But my understanding is whatever company put it out took an old VHS transfer and put it on.
Oh, DVD. No.
You know what I mean? Like the quality really? I hear is subpar.
But the Silverhawks one was awesome.
I don't know. Maybe it was a different company that had the DVD rights.
Maybe.
That's the only thing I can think.
Maybe.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Playmates.
Yeah, we didn't go there either.
Nope, but we saw the Turtles. And they look great.
And yeah, I mean,
I'm stoked.
Yay, more Turtles.
I'm a Turtles collector, so
Are you going to get a set just to keep your sets going?
Absolutely. At least the four Turtles. At least Splinter.
Right.
And then, you know, depending on...
Orokusaki.
Depending on who else they release, if Shredder Splinter? Looks solid...
Shredder.
At least if Shredder looks solid, I'll get Shredder. If by some miracle or fate, they put out a Usagi Yojimbo, I'll get him for sure.
Well, this is now another iteration, another cartoon.
Right.
Coming out, a 3D... animated, 3D generated animated version.
I don't know who has the license.
But it's, you know, it's the colored, oops, I guess we can't say that.
No.
It's the Turtles with the colored.
It's not the monochrome or not just the color with red.
Right. It's
this is blue, purple, orange, red.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I was a fan. Like I had until recently, stupid flood. I had all my Ninja Turtles comics, all the originals, literally first printings of everything, all signed by Eastman and Laird and remarked and so on and so forth. Then they died in the flood. Yes, it's true. But that said, I was a fan of those Turtles. So when NECA, bouncing back, put out their black and white versions years ago, I think that was a San Diego exclusive, wasn't it? I snapped that up because those are the Turtles that I appreciate. So
sure. That's a great set.
Did we get a colored? Nope. A version of those with red? Didn't they do a version that they colored that wasn't black and white?
I don't remember. Oh, yes. There was.
Was that a New York Comic Con?
Yes. Exclusive? One was San Diego. One was New York.
And then April O'Neil
was the red. April O'Neil was
a San Diego exclusive following year, but only in color.
And there was a Mauser exclusive as well.
Pack
as well. Right, yeah. That was color also.
That was the end of it, though.
Correct.
Okay.
So I will get those Turtles in all likelihood. So that was Playmates.
Okay.
Kodu, more Bisoju, Marvel, and
Kotobukiya.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we should say about Kotobukiya is
more Star Wars.
Yeah, but let's be specific about the Star Wars, and it's they're doing more of these Trooper 2 packs that have all these different parts that you can put together to do. I think there's something like 19 suggested poses or something like that. Maybe it was, I don't know exactly what the number was, but there was and they're now doing them with different ones as well. The 501st, the Shock Troopers. I think they just did Clone Troopers, and the original one was Stormtroopers, of course. And they're doing more of those as well. So that's really exciting.
And I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah. Something we didn't talk about last week that I wanted to talk about during this segment was one of my favorite parts of Toy Fair every year. Are those special little
things that we find.
And I didn't really feel that this year.
We talked about Brick Sticks.
We talked about Brick Sticks.
Which was the big one,
right,
I think.
That was it. That was it. That was those the diamond, like, the, in the rough.
Those are like the color forms that stick onto your Lego.
Yeah, we talked
creations.
About them during the Legos. Yeah. Right. But that was it. I don't, nothing else. You know, there was no cool little anything. Nothing grabbed me this year.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure there was something and we're forgetting what it is.
Nothing. I even went back through and I looked through the photos. Nothing that we asked Photo Ken to take photos of.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Toy Fairs.
No, don't say it. Just because I had a weak year. We've had other years that were weak.
Well, look, I think the economy is certainly playing havoc.
What about the marshmallow gun? Oh, that's
clearly
right.
There was nothing really stellar or exciting that came out this year. And that's okay.
Sure.
It was what it was. But look, you know, a couple of good things year. And, you know, there's always next year.
Yep.
And I think with that.
Well, that is the wrap up music, OG. So I guess we're wrapping up.
Right. Before we wrap up, of course, we should remind everybody to go and check out Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles.
That's right. As I understand it, the promotion this week is wine, massage.
What are you talking about?
No.
What do you mean? You just get $10 off if you make an order of 50. Why are you bringing wine and massage in?
Because I thought that was...
What are you talking about? Why are you ruining the spot for Superpower Collectibles? Listen... Regardless of what OG might say, you want to check out superpowercollectibles.com. You want to do a $50 order because you know you're going to buy $50
of course,
stuff in the next couple of weeks anyway, probably. Maybe you will. But check out what they have. They have all kinds of stuff now, and they have comics and stuff too now. You do a $50 order, you put in coupon code BIGKEV,
right.
And you're going to get $10 off.
That's
an
correct.
Order of 50. That's 20%.
That is, it's not a 20% off.
No.
$10 off.
$10
it
off an
so
order
happens
of 50. That it happens to
be 20%.
Right. So if you order $400, you're still getting only $10.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But still, $10.
Exactly.
That's pretty good.
Massage and wine.
Superpowercollectibles.com.
That's right.
OG, what did we talk about? Oh.
We don't really have to do that.
We don't really have time, do we?
No.
We
ran long again.
In that case, OG, why don't you start with the plugs?
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. We have our blog posts. We have our YouTube videos. Of course, you can also check us out over at Twitter, twitter.com/BKGeekStuff and at GeekStuffOG. Also over up the website, we don't have to go through all of the rules right now, but the rules are still posted for the Tell a Friend contest.
Tell a Friend!
So that is still going on, of course. Of course, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, youtube.com/BKGeekStuff, etc.
And so on.
All right. Of course, the GVM line, you heard us play a voicemail earlier in the show. We encourage you to participate in each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by leaving us a voicemail.
425-920-6050.
That's right. And I think that might be it.
And with that, OG, I will bring this episode to a close as we close all episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
roads go ever, ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star.